I'm not a visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 220. It is August 6th, 2018. Yep! Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show called The Boop Show. This is all about video games. It's me, Scott Johnson, him, Brian Dunaway. Hello, Brian, and welcome back.
Oh, hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm high and fine.
I'm high and fine. Fine and high.
I don't think
I'm high.
I've never been high except inside of the context of I had an operation or something, but I don't know what it's like to get, like, illicitly high. I don't know what
that is. Yeah, I know what you mean. I got illicitly high when I was doing plumbing work the other day. I told Mario to get out of the way. I said, look out, Mario!
Oh, yeah, right. That's why we didn't have a show yesterday. Brian had plumbing, a leak or something was going on.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You feel better now? Got it all taken care of and sealed off and whatever?
I feel much better now. Had water going in places it wasn't supposed to be. And now it's where it's supposed to be. Inside the pipes.
That's where you want it. Right up
the
pipe. Not
my sink. Right. Yeah.
Well, the chat room says we're still hot on audio. I think it's not you. I think I know what it is.
Hold on. Okay.
Hold on a second, everybody. You know what? I'm gonna do this. Okay, we're back, everybody.
All right,
sorry about that. A little bit of glitch there. Hey,
no.
Brian, it's good to be here with you. Should we talk about games? You want to do that?
Dude, if we don't talk about video games, I'm not gonna know what to do for the rest of the week because I've played two and I got to talk about them.
All right.
I don't.
Well, I'll
feel constipated.
If we don't, who will? All right, let's get to it. Guess what came out early for me? Not for other people, though.
I know. I saw you play this, and I hate you so much.
Yeah, it's great. Rebel Galaxy Outlaw is out on the 12th.
Rebel Galaxy Outlaw.
It's a ways off still for most people. I got lucky in that the developer sent me a very nice message on Twitter and said, hey, we're looking for some additional folks to do some early streaming kind of press.
You know who?
Key stuff.
You know who got less lucky? Me.
Were you the one? You
I
were the
didn't
one
get
that got less lucky
on that.
Well, it was very nice of them, and I said sure. It's one of my most anticipated games of the year, so I was like not going to turn them down, of course. And I've been playing it pretty heavily since it came out. I've streamed it twice, about 4 or 5 hours of streaming or something. And it's everything I wanted it to be and thought it would be. Basically, it's an iteration on the first game. The first game came out in 2015. I really enjoyed that game. But, excuse me, the reason I'm most excited about this one is they've refined a lot of stuff, and they've also gone to true sort of multi-axis space. Mm-hmm. Because in previous game, you were in space, but you weren't really in space. You were on a big flat plane, almost like water. Imagine like a naval game.
Right.
That's kind of what that was. So you're in space, but you could never go up or down. It was always just on this giant flat plane. And I didn't mind that because I think the core gameplay elements were strong and it was fun and it was all good. But that was, absolutely a way to play that game. And this one is not that. It is every which way, up, down, left, right, Z-axis, X-axis, all of it. You're playing basically a modernized version of Privateer. Oh, this is funny. The video I'm showing is from the old game. Didn't mean to do that.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I don't think so. What is it?
Yeah, it's the wrong game. It's my fault. This is supposed to be... let me fix this real quick. Rebel... Galaxy
enjoy
Outlaw
this
gameplay.
Not.
All right, that's really stupid. I don't know why I did that. All right, anyway.
You got to type in no commentary or you'll get the commentary.
No, it's fine. There's no audio. I've turned the audio off.
Right.
I just don't want some talking head on there. So
right.
It's cool because
that's better, Scott.
Yeah, yeah. Now that game starts a little bit different. It kind of has this little anime intro. Not really anime, but just animated intro.
Yeah, it's animated.
That is pretty cool. It's a character from the first game, but she wasn't who you played in the first game. She was like a secondary character. Turns out this whole thing's like a prequel.
Right.
And you're rolling around as this lady. Her name is not Nova. Juno. There it is.
Oh, yeah, Juno.
And she's awesome. And basically it's a space western, and it's like Privateer or any of those games where you're basically just running jobs on your ship and improving your ship and buying new equipment for your ship and delivering stuff and killing dudes and attacking pirates and warping to other systems so you can like spend some time there and figure out your business there and kind of keep growing your little personal empire. And it succeeds wildly in all of that. The thing that makes it stand out, or the thing that made the first one and this one stand out, is it's a lot more like kind of a Firefly approach to outer space.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
In fact, they embrace it even more so. It's almost like it's like the Southwest took over the universe, because you start in the Texas system and you do work in the Kansas system and you spend time in the Minnesota system. Like all these states, there are these systems named after states. And then there's planets within there that it's like the Lubbock station and, you know, things that are connected to actual locations. So they really lean into that idea. It's basically a Western in space in pretty much every way. You're a Han Solo type character, smuggling stuff, doing dirt. And
doing dirt. I like this ship because everything is grimy, right? Mm-hmm. Like you'd expect from a Western where you cobbled your ship together out of parts from other ships, and everybody has all skills needed to be in space, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
I like that story.
I mean, there's stuff you do that you can't do until you improve yourself. There's certain missions that are going to be too hard until you upgrade your guns, upgrade your ship, your hull, your shield capacity, that kind of stuff. So that's the progression in the game, is you're always trying to make, you know, cooler stuff, better stuff. Better ship, whatever, and then adding to that ship all the time. And this was a controversial title in that it was coming. It's one of the first games that was announced as an exclusive for the Epic Store.
Right, 12-month exclusive, right?
12-month exclusive. Yep, it's coming to Steam, PlayStation, Xbox. Everything's getting it, but
later.
Yeah. Did you move away from your mic again?
I don't think. No, is it?
That's much better. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It sounded like you were crossing.
I'll just lay on my microphone.
Well, you don't have to eat it. You can just sort of taste it, just lick it, but not eat it. Anyway, it's I don't know what else I can say about it, because really I've described everything it does. You go to a station, you go to the missions board. You're like, oh, there's these three smuggle runs. Plus, I can maybe go kill this pirate guy and get some important document back to the station, and whatever. You take those missions, you go do your missions, you come back, you get paid. That's kind of the loop.
I like all the bounty hunter people that you encounter. I watched you play this the other day when you streamed this live on Twitch, and I enjoyed that. I like the characters. They're kind of stupid and over the top, but I like that
in a good
That's
way.
What I want.
Yeah,
in
a way, it's
Western.
Good. I agree. Like they're always like, "Ma'am, we're gonna scan you for contraband. Please do not deviate from your dip, dip." Like, it's very much,
and everybody
like,
seems so angry because everybody's, you know, they're fighting off dysentery, and, you know, it's just no one's having a good time, but everybody's doing what they got to do to survive.
It's a dirty, dirty town.
Dirty town.
And that is to say galaxy. anyway, I really like it, and I cannot wait for it to come out so other people can play it. I feel slightly guilty that I've had early access.
I'm going
to
go back and play the original this week to get prepared. I'm sure my code will be in the inbox any day now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back and play the first one just to remind myself. I've played it momentarily years ago, but I picked it up free off the Epic Game Store. If you're watching the, you know, two games per week now, or every 2 weeks, I think they're ratcheting.
Oh, did they have that
now
on there? I didn't realize they had that on there.
Yeah, I think it was like one of the first ones they did, actually, when they first announced this or said they were going to get the exclusive. So it's been going on since about the beginning. Got it, though. Got it.
So a couple of tiny notes. I think it's early enough that, you know, we'll get patches and stuff, and this isn't even public yet. But I think that there's a little bit of a balance problem early in the game. I've kind of hit this point where I'm having to grind out small amounts of money to get to my next ship upgrade, and I really need it to be able to do the story mission. So my story mission's a little stalled at the moment until I can beef up my ship. And then when I do that, I'll head out there and tackle that again.
Well, I was watching you. You really either nail it or you don't. And I think they nailed the space movement, like the ships. When I was watching you, it was like it felt like it was the appropriate amount of movement and speed that made you feel like you were in a vast area, but also moving fairly quickly.
Yeah, it's got a. I mean, in a way, it's hard to explain. There's no Newtonian physics here. It's not accurate right. space travel by any stretch, but the movement feels cinematic and strong and fast. And but you still have to kind of pay attention. Like, all right, my shields have got too much energy, or my my aft shield is down. They're going to breach my hull if I don't get around this fight on the other side. And
like, breach my hull.
Yeah, there's all that stuff.
I'm doing the best I can.
It's cool. And the main story, really good so far. Lots of voice acting, lots of story being told. I just kind of had to stall that while I go and just get money, run bounties and stuff.
Am I watching Bert right now from the Graboids? What am I thinking of? Oh, my God. No, Tremors.
I don't know. Oh, he does look like the guy from Tremors.
Like Bert Gummer. Looks like Bert Gummer there.
He totally does. And he basically acts like Bert Gummer. I forgot his real name, but he's kind of a pecker. Richter is his name.
Richter. Damn near Richter.
Damn near Richter. Richter scale. Anyway, he's cool. And he's kind of a dick. And his brother's even a bigger one. But you got to deal with these people. You got to run their business. She's trying to get her feet back on the ground and make some real money in this place. And you stop in all these bars. Oh, this is the other thing I love. The bars, they were in the first game. You go in the bar, get advice from the bartender. He tells you where some downies are, stuff like that. But you can also play pool. You can play slot machines. You can play a video game that's basically an Asteroids ripoff and actually play it like in the game. You can earn money. Oh, you can play dice with aliens. It's basically poker dice, and you can get cash off those guys, which is pretty great. So there's
Yahtzee, you mean, or?
No, it's like, I don't know what to call it.
Or dominoes.
It's a bit like Yahtzee, but it's like space Yahtzee, it's different.
Yes, you're playing space Yahtzee. Hey, can I ask you a question? Yeah. It just struck me while I was watching this video.
Yeah.
That Bert Gummer type, he's wearing blue jeans. Can you wear blue jeans in space?
You can.
Does that work out?
I think you can. The question is, should you?
I don't think I've ever seen a TV show or movie with an individual wearing pants on a spaceship.
What did Dr. Malcolm, what's his name, say?
They were all leather pants. Oh, what did he say?
He said, you're so busy trying to see if you could, you never asked if you should or whatever.
If you should, yes. Yeah. There's a reason why no one wears blue jeans in space, because they chafe like nobody's business.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing, I should mention this too. There's two modes of view. You can be in the cockpit, kind of X-Wing style.
Yes.
Or you can be out of the cockpit and do a third person. So far, I think I prefer the third person outside the cockpit view, because the elements in the ship, like the glass breaks very easily. Sometimes it glares. There's like a structure inside of the ship that I just find takes so much of your view away that I feel like it's a big hindrance. So I've often gone third person on this. And that's
I like the way it looks. When I watched you play, I preferred the third person view. It may be different when you're actually playing for some people, but watching a video right now and the guy's all up in the cockpit and you got all this glass flare, like you'd said. And I just like, I think the outside view, it just feels better. It's kind of like when you play your racing games. I'm always third person on the outside of racing games.
Always. Like, I can't do car. I hate it.
Right. If it wasn't a flat surface, you were looking at a monitor, like if you were surrounded, I could see being in the car. But when you're looking at a flat surface, it's hard to do.
Totally agree. It's also got a lot of nice features, like lock-on features and things that kind of make combat less. How do I put this? It's like there are plenty of space sims out there, and they kind of make things hard to do on purpose. It's like, hey, it's space. It's tricky. The landing is not easy. You know, that kind of stuff.
To be had.
But in this game, they're like, no, we're just stripping away all the things that aren't fun, and we're just going to leave things that are fun to do.
Right.
And so far, they've done that.
Don't sacrifice fun for reality.
Except for those times I have to go blow up 20 space mines that are guarding some station.
Oh, space mines. Yeah. I thought you said space mimes.
No.
I'm sorry. That's a totally different thing.
I get rid of space mimes on visual contact. Right. As soon as I see a space mime, they're out of there. I'm done with them.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But yeah, like I there's these missions where you have to go clear these mines out, and it's just a little tedious, but of all the missions, it's still worth doing, because it's cash, you get paid, it's all good.
Right.
I really like it. I think they've made a hell of a game here and have given me exactly what I was hoping I was going to get. So huge thanks to Double Damage Games for tossing me a code, and it's so funny, because when you get a code, people are going to question your you know, whether you can tell
integrity?
Them.
Yeah, your bias is what they're usually questioning. They're like, that's the reason why on Steam you have to put was given this product for free.
Right, for your review. Right. But I just think people think there's a bias there. I can tell you, if I didn't like it, I wouldn't say I liked it.
No. I don't think that at all, especially if they follow you. Now, a third person who's never known Scott Johnson may say that, but people who follow you know that you've been very excited about this game for a while, and every week you tell us about some space game you played, so...
Yeah, I played I played the first game, Rebel Galaxy 1, I don't know how many times, like two and a half times through.
I'm trying to remember, is that completely single player? This is completely single player, right?
It's completely single player, no multiplayer in this. It is 100% right. single player. And if the loop sounds good to you of go get in a ship, leave the station, dock somewhere, get a mission, go back out, fight for that. There's just a lot of good looping going on. Right. And it'll always tell you, like, for example, some of them require multiple jumps between systems. So they're like, hey, you need to be in the Arizona system. And you find out it's 4 jumps from Texas.
Right.
That's a little time consuming.
So accurate if you've ever been that way.
Yeah, if you've ever been out that way, you got to take at least that many portals. So
at least that many Spink stations. What's the popular gas station out there?
Out here it's Flying J.
Flying J. There's at least four Flying J's before you get there.
Or I'm trying to think what else. Flying J is the big one out here.
It is the big one.
Anyway.
Flying J, that's scary.
Game's great. Check it out. It is, again, Rebel Galaxy Outlaw, available now on PC through the Epic Store, It's available for pre-order. You can get it on the 12th. And coming to everything, except Switch, I think.
Yeah.
That's the only thing not announced.
Not yet.
I mean, soon. I'd play it on the Switch if they had it there, but they don't and won't. But if they do, I'd probably buy it again because I like my Switch. And
You'll buy it again for free.
Yeah. Like how well it would run, I don't know. This thing's super silky smooth at HD and 60 frames and you know all the stuff. I don't know how the Switch would handle it, but probably not too bad to be honest. Space is cool. Space is cool because you can get out in space and it's just space, right? Right. Your only polygons to worry about is your ship, some other guy's ship, a trader ship way over there in the distance, and then you got a big background skybox that doesn't move or do anything, and then you got some fake stars. Like, what do you got to render? Nothing.
Well, it's nothing. It's so simple. It's so easy. Why don't we make our own?
Let's do it. Let's make our own game. Ready?
I got to go.
All right, Brian. You finally played Hard West for the Switch, and it's also available for the PC. But how's the Switch version of Hard West?
Right. I finally played it on the Switch. Reason why I played it on the Switch is because it just came to the Switch. It's been out since 2015 on your Windows PC machines and even OS X and Linux. But Nintendo Switch just picked it up this past March, I believe. And I don't know what it says that went on sale for like.
What is OS X? What the hell is OS X? What are you talking about?
OS X.
What's OS X?
That's what the operating system is. OS X. Operating system.
Oh.
Yeah, for the Mac.
Oh, no, you're talking Mac OS. All right, never mind.
Yeah.
They call it Mac OS now.
I know, but when it was released in 2015, they didn't.
No, you're probably right.
Back to the Nintendo Switch. It just came out this year for the Nintendo Switch. Yeah. I had seen it before on the PC. I thought about buying it, never did. Saw it was on super sale. I think it was like either $250 or $5. I think I posted it on Twitter for one of those done away deals. Anyway, what it is.
Okay.
It takes heavy inspiration from the XCOM strategy turn-based kind of game, except they throw it into the Hard West. Now, it's not a real Hard West. It's not, it's not real accurate as far as how the real Old West was, because you got death and the devil both on your heels, and you got the undead in several places. So there's a lot of supernatural things going on here too. But it's all dropped into the flavor of your favorite Western. And I dug that part because something fun about you and your paw trying to go avenge your maw for the dirty deed.
I have this on PC. Is it my memory? I haven't played it in a while. I wouldn't mind cracking it open again. Like, you did this to me last week. I ended up playing Gravekeeper a little bit during the week.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah,
oh,
it's really good. So good. I have this. I should just play it again. But the question is, at the time, even the lowest settings seemed really hard. Brutally difficult game. Is it still really hard? Did you feel like you were dying all the time?
It It's pretty hard. So far for me, it's been pretty hard. It's been playing the campaign. Oh, and it ratchets it up because there's some DLC you probably haven't even played. So if you dig through, there's probably some new DLC you haven't played yet. Might want to pick it up. But yes, it is as hard as you probably remember. I definitely died a lot.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you have to do, I think you're showing some footage from when I was playing.
Yep. Is this you playing? That's cool.
Yeah, this is me playing. I try as often as I can. I try to do this. I streamed this last week. Mm-hmm. So I when you go to this particular fight, first you start in this map where you have to kind of get some generalities of where you're going in the campaign, and then you get into these fights. And in this particular fight, I had the Mexican come with me. That's right. He's called the Mexican.
Yep.
And he comes with me. And if he dies, it costs you gold. If one of your primary characters, you or your dad, get killed, then you fail the mission. So I probably can tell. I think I got the Mexican out front. He's just kind of taking point because if he dies, so what?
Yeah.
What's 200 gold to me? I don't care. Yeah. I don't care.
Do you remember? Do you remember the Mexican guy in Hateful Eight? His name was Bob. Do you remember Bob?
Right. I remember Bob.
He. I was watching that again. And he's kind of the same. He's got the same job. It's just like, we just need this dude to kind of get in the way.
We just need this guy to be up here. So there's some backstory going on, but you don't have a lot of interaction. It's more like they set up situations.
Samuel L. Jackson calls him Mexican.
Mexican.
So anyway, go ahead.
When you start out the game, you kind of almost do like this Oregon Trail kind of thing where you're like in this top-down menu where you pick certain areas and you have options. It's like, oh, you want to try to skim the gold from this here, you know, gold mine, and you do that. You yeah. take your little gamble, and whatever comes back, it rolls, and you might get some gold and increase your gold. And once you get enough gold, you can head to town, and you might even stop by the neighbor's house and pick up a wife called Florence. And the only reason why you know anything about Florence is because it's all told through text. It's totally said, you visited with the neighbors and now you're hooked up with Florence and you're married. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, it's like, well, outlaws came to your house and took Florence. And now you must travel with your father to do that. And so it's a lot of fun. I really like the narration, by the way.
Yeah, it's very good. They've really, they established the tone really strong. It's really good that way.
They really did.
So, I really, my favorite thing is, I mean, if you like XCOM, that's what this is. It's just absolutely. Old West XCOM. Like the way you move,
XCOM.
You take the damage in the same kind of ways. You have reload turns. You can be in Overwatch mode. Like all of that stuff is here, and it's pretty.
You don't have as much like later XCOM stuff where you can like upgrade your equipment and that stuff. It's a little bit there, but there's not much to it really. You can improve a little bit, but it's very slow and very grindy. And I played this map we're looking at now quite a few times. Before I got past it, but then trying to get Florence, I'm still stuck on trying to get Florence. But I dropped out because I was getting frustrated with that and hopped into the DLC, and I have no idea what's going on in the story there because I haven't completed this campaign yet, and I'm introduced to all these weird characters. I'm like, who are these people?
Aren't you the one that when we were playing Red Dead 1, you hated the zombie DLC?
Yeah, I hate the zombie thing because they released the DLCs for the zombie, and I picked it up before I finished the main storyline, and I was ticked.
Yeah, I remember that. You were not happy about that.
I wasn't happy. It wasn't their fault. Well, it was. They didn't give me time to finish. Red Dead's not a quick game.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're not wrong about that. I haven't even finished the second one. You know what I did with the second one? The second one got so much. Every day I played it, I was like, man, this is long. This is so freaking long. That I went, really it wasn't is. That I didn't want to finish it. It was that I know the PC version's coming. I just know it.
Right.
So I'm just going to wait for that. I'm going to replay me some Red Dead 2. By then, they got the Red Dead Online worked out. It'll be a much smoother experience, way more fun. All the modes will be cool. Like, I'm not sitting around. I mean, I guess I am sitting around waiting for the PC version, I'd say, in the Old West.
Well, I'll tell you, this game did not suffer from being 4 years old and just being released on the Switch. It's still amazing and it's fun. It's a little bit small, though, for the Switch and on the Switch screen. So I usually dock it in play because the character's a little bit small. Even zooming in as much as I can, I can't really get a good look.
I'm gonna reinstall this today. I miss this game.
Totally, dude.
Yeah. Just watching this has got me wanting to play it. You did this freaking Gravekeeper. I played that all, well, not all week, but big chunks of time. I was like, Oh, yeah, Brian's so playing fun. This. I should get in here again and see what's going on. Actually, I have an old save, but I kind of feel like starting over because I don't remember anything.
Right. You know? Hey, you know what? Our little trick is working pretty good because I picked up, is it Pillars of Destiny? What is it?
Pillars of Eternity.
Pillars of Eternity. That's it. Yeah, I picked that up. Two, right?
Yeah, two's the new one.
Yeah, I picked that up and I got to play it.
Two is fantastic. Oh,
every time
good.
I turn around.
That's the other one Evil I got to finish. I got so many games to finish.
Yeah.
Guess what else I started today on a stream? You want to know what I started on a stream today? Well, you were there for part of
please,
it.
I was there, but I'll let you pretend like I didn't know. What, Scott?
The Evil Inside 2. No, wait, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Evil Within.
Evil Within. Evil Inside. The Evil Within.
Evil
2,
Inside. Which, Evil Inside.
It was a big surprise. I don't know. I knew I was going to get a cheesy story because it's like this, you know, dude, what made the original Resident Evil games, and you know the stories were never the big points of those, but mechanically it's very fun. There's a lot to do and explore and pick up and grab and kill and kind of into it.
I was surprised. Yeah, yeah. I was surprised when I was watching. I was surprised. It looked like a lot of fun, like really well balanced fun.
It's like a year and a half old, and I'd forgotten all about it. It reviewed well. I don't know why. I don't like scary games, so I just never got around to it. But actually, coming around on that one, I think it's cool.
I don't know how scary it is, because it doesn't have a lot of jump scares, but it's intense.
It had some moments. It had some moments. Yeah. This big Banshee Queen thing that I'm fighting right now.
Oh yeah,
she made me pee a little.
What'd you expect?
Well, I peed a little. Is all I'm saying.
You did pee a little. Just a little. So Hard West on the Switch, super cheap. Not pick it up on the PC.
Wait, how much? How much? Where is it? How much? How much?
I want to say when I picked it up, like I said, it was on some kind of sale, like $5 or something. Let me see.
Really?
Is there? Yeah. I
on
mean,
the Switch?
Pick it up on the Switch if you don't have it. Yeah.
I'm getting in there now. Hold on.
Do it now. Do it. Do it so cheap. Matter of fact, I just went for all kinds of deals on my Switch the past couple of weeks. I just keep seeing these stupid cheap things.
Let's see here. I didn't realize they had anything that ever went that low.
Oh, yeah. I actually picked up the other game I'm going to talk about today. It was only $2.50.
On the Switch?
On the Switch.
What the?
Matter of fact, the one I got, I actually got it for free because I had enough points. I was just like, here's some points.
Oh, wait. Points are good. Do points. I like points. I did that with Amazon recently. It was the greatest thing ever, man. I bought like a, let's see, what was this thing? $180 Stream Deck thing.
Right.
Remember that when I bought that? I got it with Amazon points that I forgot I had.
For nothing.
Yeah, it was free. I guess nothing's free.
No, Hard West is back up to $19.99.
Aw, it was a sale then, huh?
Sale. It must have been a sale.
Well, check the PC version, probably a little cheaper. I don't know, but you've driven me to play it again. I'm going to go back. Get my Western fix in there. It'll be awesome.
Currently, the best price for Hard West in the PC is on Steam for $2.19.
Well, that is insane.
That is insano. Get out there, Captain Insano, and pick yourself up some Hard West.
Yeah, y'all should do that, is what I'm saying. All right, I'm going to tell the fine folks at home now about another game. It is called Warhammer 40K Inquisitor. Prophecy.
Prophecy.
Well, here's the deal. When I played this game, the last time I played a game like this, it was called Inquisitor Martyr, which is the name
of the ship. I always have trouble keeping up with all the Warhammer names because there's so many. Every time you talk about one, I go, oh, I got that one.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Yeah, there's a million of them. The quality of Warhammer games varies from awesome to crap. There's never one company doing it all. Like, it's a very confusing landscape, but I absolutely love the world of Warhammer 40K. It's one of my favorites. I honestly think if I could just sit and listen to Warhammer characters talk back and forth in the way that they do, that would be my ASMR. I could listen to that all freaking day long. Anyway, it is a Diablo-like game that is all about killing dudes and getting loot. There's a big story. There's lots of Ezekiel to me kind of dialogue. Your guy, you pick a class just like you do in Diablo. There's also subclasses you can choose. And they range from, you know, all the stuff you'd expect. Like one's kind of basically a wizard, even though it's tech stuff. You got a guy who's heavily armored. I picked the new character, which is called the tech adept, tech priest, I believe is what he's called.
Right.
Tech adept, tech priest. Anyway. He controls turrets and can like import or teleport them into the fight and that sort of thing. And then you play like Diablo, basically. Like
I was gonna say it looks a lot like Diablo.
Yeah,
you're playing
a Diablo game essentially. And that to me is always a good thing. Now here's the thing: other people are hearing this going, wait a minute, wasn't Martyr bad? And you complained about it on the show? Yes, I did.
Oh.
So I had Martyr. I talked about it on the Boop Show. I was very disappointed in it because it had huge potential. And I was bummed out because I just thought, oh man, they didn't hit it. It just didn't work. It's too slow. It's weird. It's not great. It was buggy at launch, like all those things. This is a standalone expansion to that game, meaning you don't have to have the original game to play it. If you do, you can play it too. But if you don't, you can just buy this. I think it was 17, may still be on Steam. And they have ironed it out, man. It is so much better than it was when I played it last. And I'm enamored with it. I like it a lot, like a whole lot. And I'm gonna play this one all the way through because it's just fixed it. They redid loot. Loot got all changed. Itemization got changed. Like
loot,
kind of like I don't know. It reminds me of when Diablo launched in a rough state in 2012, and they got around to loot 2.0, and then they had the best game on the
Oh boy, that was a rough world. Ride too, boy.
It was at first. It got so much better later. And that's how I feel similarly about this. I mean, this is a smaller release, obviously, not that big a deal. But
when did this one come out?
A week and a half ago, a week ago.
Wow,
something like that. Yeah. It's pretty new. Very bloody, very again Warhammer 40K, lots of in your face action. It's a top down perspective. Chat room seeing this playing out in video right now.
Mm-hmm. 10% on Steam right now.
Yeah. Off. What is it? It's 17 right now or something?
It's 10% off, which is makes it $25.
Oh, I got it cheaper. What did I do?
$25.
Still totally it's worth it at 25.
Right.
There's an end game thing I haven't gotten to, so I'm curious about that. There's tons of story, voiceover for everything. It graphically rad. It's just a very cool. Very cool package, and I will probably go play all the other content again now that they've worked it out. Yeah, because I have the first game as well, so it's vastly improved. Anyway, right. If you're looking for something to scratch your 40K itch, I think this is the one right now, and I'm very happy to say that because the first time around was a bummer. This time, they got it right, so there's that.
Right. I can't tell you how many times my Warhammer 40K gets itchy.
I know, you gotta,
I'm always rubbing it.
You gotta
I'm always get, rubbing cream on that thing.
You gotta
thing.
Put the cream on the 40K, yo.
Right.
It is, again, Warhammer 40K or 40,000, depending on how you're searching for it. Inquisitor and then colon Prophecy. Prophecy is the new one. That's the
Who
one you
puts
want.
40,000.
Some people.
Don't do that.
The Steam listing does. Everything does. So
that's a database thing. That's what they have to do in the database. You're a human. You should be typing 40K.
That's true. 40K. But I think it's just.
Human?
Apocalyptic space is so great, and I could listen to these guys just talk. Like,
yeah.
We serve the Omni Messiah.
It's like you did a lot of space travel in this past week.
Oh yeah, I love space. You know, I love me some space. I did more than this even. Since we only talk about two games here, I would tell you about more, but I'm not gonna. Actually, I am gonna make one mention though. Remember Astrox Imperium? I talked about last week. Another space game.
Yeah.
Remember that? I didn't know this, but right after we recorded, or I guess it was. Couple days after recorded, they put out a huge update, a giant patch to that thing that now supports full sandbox mode. And by that, I mean, I want to have 500 systems and I want 12 planets per system and I want all these other things to happen. And like, you can just go build your own universe and all of its, you can make it so there's no bad guys and all you do is explore and mine and just hang out.
That's great. Especially after this last week of the pain of watching my 11-year-old be upset because somebody came onto her Minecraft server and grief the crap out of her.
That's no good.
Like, come on.
No one likes to be griefed. That's not
Don't
good.
Don't grief these. Don't grief her.
Nobody
she spent
griefs.
Half the summer working on that, you jerks.
Yeah, that sucks. Anyway, Astrox Imperium. That game's going to be so great when he's done.
Oh,
love it. Love it, love it, love it. And I went and made 500 systems. It took a while to generate, but then I looked at the galaxy mode, and it was like all these systems. There's no way I'm ever going to do that game. I mean, I had to start over because I'm like, I'm not going to do 500 systems. That's ridiculous, but it's
right.
Pretty cool. And again, one dude making that game. He's just blowing my mind. All right, so that's the game this week is Warhammer 40K Inquisitor Prophecy. Get it today. Brian, tell me about Pan Pan.
Oh, I'm going to tell you about PanPan. First of all, you're going to do a Google search for PanPan. You're not going to find it. It is Pan-Pan, and you got to type game after that, because otherwise you'll never get there. This is the really good deal I got on the Switch a few weeks back. I think I paid like $250 for it. It's back up to $5. Oh, no, get over. This came out in 2016, I think, originally for the PC. I think it might have been mobile. I'm trying to remember. But, yeah, anyway, this is not his first platform, the Switch, but it's there now, and I think it's perfect for the Switch because it is what they describe as an open plane adventure. Okay. So it's not where you can just go anywhere, but there is a large plane surface you can run about.
What are you? You look like a little maid or something. What are you?
You are not a maid, but you're kind of like this. I don't know how to exactly describe it, but you're not really.
You look like a French maid.
It's kind of a mythical creature, you know? Okay. You're not exactly in any particular genre that I'm familiar with. It's like its own little mythical story. And it's probably what PanPan means. I don't even know what PanPan means. All I know is I played the game and I had a lot of fun with it. It's very laid back. It's one of those games that you lay in bed and you're like, yeah, this is the good stuff. The music is just so laid back and there's no real dialogue when you interact with other characters.
Are there puzzles in this game? Puzzles?
Yeah, it's all puzzles. Okay. That's what all it is. It's exploration and puzzles. You explore an area and you keep running around, which, by the way, the character is so adorable. The character animations are great. You're just like running around these little two spiky legs. And also, the only tool I found so far in PanPan is a stick. That's right. So I pick up the stick.
Hold on, I'm just noticing this. You got this little guy guarding his eggs, and then you're picking him up and taking him to put on these switches.
That's actually my favorite area, is because it took me a little while to figure it out. So I'm playing this PanPan, and most of it's been mostly about going to areas and picking up power cells and moving them to platforms where you lay them down, and then you have to activate some buttons and that kind of stuff. Activating buttons is a big part of this game. Moving objects is another big part. And then you get to this part where you're talking about in the video and you come across this bird and he's surrounded by like, or she, they're surrounded by like three different eggs. And you realize there's four buttons in the area that you're trying to access to get to the next area.
Yeah.
And so you do that. You pick up one of the eggs, and like, because the bird's sleeping in the middle. Pick up an egg, you run to a button, you put it down. About that time, the bird will wake up and the bird will start to go get the egg and retrieve the egg. So you got to get all three eggs on buttons so that you can activate the final button.
Yeah.
All the while this bird keeps stealing the eggs back. And I accessed this area too soon. I did not have, I had not played linear. I had played willy nilly like I do. And I did not have the proper tools. So eventually I went back, backtracked, found one of the little mumble guys that I talked to. So he gives me a stick and he tells me about this bird that's down the way. And I'm like, I know, I've seen the bird. I've played this horrible game with this guy and he's been, you know, just wrecking my day. So you go back and you wait until the bird wakes up and you smack him in the head.
Oh, geez.
You knock him out and then you get to move the eggs. But of course, you only knock him out for so long. So it's this hurry up and finish this puzzle before the bird like regains consciousness. But it's a lot of fun because most of it's real chill. But then when I got to that part, it was not so chill, not so chill at all.
And if it starts to wake up, you can go whack it again.
Yeah, you just whack it again. You just had to go whack, whack, and then always miss, whack.
Wow.
That in itself was a game because you can do two things when you approach a character. If you have an instrument of destruction, you can choose to attack them. Or you can choose to, you know, to talk to them. And I always seem to do the wrong thing. By the way, you're probably watching me put this egg down.
I am watching that.
The wrong spot.
It's great.
Oh my God. Oh, it was so infuriating. It's like, stop it. Stop it. But you do that and the stick is good because you can beat the bushes, by the way. And it whenever you do, this fruit comes out and these energy bulbs come out and you grab those and collect them if you have the right tools for it.
But, gosh, you almost missed the switch. You were like still
dicking
around.
I did almost wish the switch. But it's a fun but frustrating game. If you don't mind like trying to rework puzzles over and over again, then that might kind of be the game for you. And I did a lot just because, like I said, I would just go like, oh yeah, let me I'm in bed, but I'm still stuck in that one area. Just let me see if I can figure it out.
Yeah. It's cracking me up. I do like the style, though. It's cool.
Oh, yeah. The Pan Pan's right. It's way cool. It's
and you
cool.
got that for how much? It's $5
like $2.50
now, though.
Yeah, it's like $5 on the Switch, and I think it's also on the PC, I believe. And let's see. Boop, boop.
Pan Pan.
Let's see. It is a total whopping $12.99 on the PC and probably other platforms as well. This was developer Spellcraft. And I'll tell you, I think the Switch is the way to go, though. You don't want, I don't want to play this on some kind of mobile device. It's kind of something you want to take with you. Not something you want to sit in front of a PC and try to figure out, in my opinion.
You saying this is on phones as well?
Is on what?
Phones.
Oh, on phones. Oh, I doubt that. I just said if I was doing some type of device that I could carry with me.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
If it was, it might be. Let's see.
Oh, it is. It is available. Is it really? It totally is. It's on iOS and Android. Yep.
Right. Like I said, it's been out for a while. It's nothing new. It was just
$3.99 on mobile if you want to get it there.
What?
Yep.
Totally worth it.
Yeah, except waste for the I don't want to control it on a touchscreen though.
Yeah, I agree.
That sounds lame. I want a controller.
Whacking the bird is very satisfactory on the Switch. That's all I can tell you.
That's a dirty sounding thing. All right.
Oh, by the way, you probably noticed my camera is still bouncing. I ordered these little Duflotchers to put on the wall so that I can keep that from happening.
Oh, nice. He's got a good
So next time I was planning on doing it this week, but the plumbing thing happened, so I didn't get to it. But
dude, plumbing.
Next week, no more bouncing.
Plumbing jacks everything up. F plumbing.
Stupid plumbing.
All right. Let's. And you're going to be playing Steel Division 2 next, I understand.
I am. I got the developers, sent me a key for that, and I want to play it this week.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
Steel Division 2.
What do you do? Not the Division 2. Steel Division 2.
No, right? Steel Division 2.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Check that out. Interesting. All right. Well, that leads us into this little mess right here called
It's Me Mario.
Guess My Game. We play audio clips of songs or songs of things. Oh, I forgot the cap one.
That's okay, because it's going to take you the complete time to not guess mine, because that's how hard it is.
Totally spaced mine. Crap. All right. I'll play yours.
Space mine.
We're here. I'll be tricky. Here. This is so dumb. I'm just going to do it. Hold on. Okay. Can you tell me what this is from? Here you go.
Yes, sir. I would like to go with Pac-Man for the win.
Good job. There's more. Where he eats the other thing.
That's nice. I like that.
All right. You win, Pac-Man. All right. I'm a player. You ready?
Do it.
Here goes. It's loading. Oh, whoops.
Oh yeah, I told you I'd never get this one. I'm giving you nothing.
How old is this?
Let's see. Let me think. Wait a second. I think. Let me think. Let's see when it first came out. Let me make sure I got it. Make sure I got it right. I know what platform, but I'm not sure if that was the second one or not.
Can I guess?
Oh, absolutely. But wait, I got to tell you, originally released in 1997.
Okay, that's Quake 1 then.
You would think so, right?
No.
Because it is not.
I heard
it
the
was
hoot,
for the.
Hoot.
Exactly.
Who is it? What is
these,
it?
These jerks stole it. So this is Turok, Dinosaur Hunter.
Turok the Dinosaur Turok. Hunter. Yeah, Turok.
Turok. Making,
there's a new Turok coming.
Yes, there is. That's why I thought about it. I was like, oh, sweet.
Game. There's something. I'm going to see if we can get some details on this.
But I forgot how Quake sounding it was until I went back and I was searching. And I'm like, holy crap.
No.
Did they just go download the WAD files or what?
Can't find details, but it looks like there is something in the works. Yeah, right. I remember, so Turok the Dinosaur Hunter on, that is the same Quake sound. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure there's a story to that. I'm sure it was licensed, or I'm sure somebody was involved at all that, because it's with Acclaim Entertainment, with the developer, so I'm sure it was all tied in.
I want to say the game that Quake was a year before, right? 96?
96, I think it's right.
Yeah, yep. So that sounds weird. Maybe they stole it. Anyway, that game was on the N64, and you could buy a remember the jump pack thing you could put in there that would boost it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had that. I can't remember if that was for Turok 2 or 1. I don't remember.
I think it was 2.
Okay.
Because I kept thinking that, oh, that was Turok 1. I'm like, no. I played it much more in 2.
I remember thinking that game was cool at the time. I don't know. Oh, yeah. I remember the draw distance was horrendous, like all games then were, but it was so bad you couldn't see anything 4 feet in front of your face.
Right.
But well,
the game was, let's see, the Wikipedia page says, the PC version, that while an excellent port, the game itself was inferior to other shooters such as Quake.
Well, of course.
Hey, that's not nice.
That's true, though. Even, like, when was GoldenEye? The next year? 98, right. I think, was GoldenEye. And that was a hell of a thing, but wasn't that good.
No, N64, man. I miss it.
Yeah, I miss it, too. There were some things about that machine that were pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
That controller was nuts, but it changed the world. So
it really did. Why is this thumbstick here? Mm-hmm. What is it?
Pretty crazy.
What is its purpose?
Pretty crazy. All right, that music can only mean one thing. Time for an email. This came to us at boopshow@gmail.com. You're encouraged to use that as frequently as you can. boopshow@gmail.com. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, and there probably are some, I just haven't gone through them all. 801-471-0462 is that number. This is from somebody who calls himself Greasy Pete.
Greasy Pete! I tried to stop him so many times.
He's just too greasy.
He is too greasy.
Yeah, he'll just get it through your fingers. He'll slip right through. Here's what Greasy Pete said. He says, I think Scott has a problem. He is only interested in space games. We should have a confrontation about his... he spelled that wrong.
I think what he's trying to say, we should have an intervention, but I like confrontation better. I don't know if
intervention's the right word, not confrontation.
Maybe he did mean confrontation.
Maybe. I don't want to guess.
But I prefer confrontation over the other, because maybe he's from another country and maybe that Greasy Pete is, that's what they call it there. But
they could be. I don't want to mess with other, I don't want to do cultural misunderstandings here. So if you live in a place where it's a high honor to be called Greasy whatever, Greasy Bill, right. Greasy Pete, Greasy Fred, whatever, that's great for you. But also, I mean, I'm not going to say I'm only interested in space games. That's just not true. But I am having a bit of a moment here. I admit it. I love
this moment. I don't. That's what alcoholics said. That's what they always say. I'm just having a moment. Just enjoying some alcohol.
I just want a lot of science fiction in my life right now, and it's across the board. It doesn't just stop with games. I want more science fiction television and movies, and I'm more interested in that genre right now than I am anything else. But it always swings back the other way. I'll be so steeped in fantasy before you know it, I'll be able to hardly stand myself.
You'll be like, I gotta play a roguelike. La la la.
La la la. Lu lu lu. Anyway, there you go. Hey, Greasy Pete, thanks for emailing us. You're welcome to anytime. And if you'd like to be like Greasy Pete, send us an email.
Who
wouldn't? Boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. The voicemail line again is 1-800. Nope, it's 801-471-0462. You can find us on Twitter at Boopshow. You can find our Boopshow Reddit at boopshow.reddit.com. And if you guys stick around, we're going to give you some giveaways today.
Yeah.
Got some video games to give away today, so stick around for that. We would love to be the people that gave you those games. Brian, anything else going on you want to mention?
Sure. Hey, you know what? I've been trying to meet all my goals on the Twitch channel. I'm trying to get a partner. I'm well on my way, but I need more average viewers, and I'll keep everybody up to date on my Twitter. If you follow me at twitter.com/TheBrianDunaway, that's what I'm trying to do, man. I'm trying to get enough people watching at the same time.
I get you. Yeah.
So I can get the partner thing.
Let's make it happen, everybody. Let's get Dunaway on there. Also, I'm at Scott Johnson. He's at, like you said, TheBrianDunaway, and you can find the show at Boop Show on Twitter as well. We let you know when live shows happen.
My Twitch is Brian Dunaway.
Yeah, yeah. His is Brian Dunaway on Twitch. Yeah. The Brian Dunaway on Twitter.
That's right.
Don't get confused.
That's not confusing.
Yeah, don't get confused at all. It's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. We will be back next week with another show. If it's Tuesday, we'll let you know. But right now, it's still Mondays, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, we'll let you know then. Hope all your
phone seems like lately it's just been Tuesdays. It's been working out.
Yeah, maybe it will be the thing we do. I don't know.
I don't know.
But I hope everyone's plumbing's good. We'll see you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam.